Rob Parr,
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Space vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Homemade Broadcast live stream / podcast, depending on the time or platform that you are listening, or radio show as well, heard on Radio St. Pete, 96.7 FM on Sunday evenings. My name's Will Kuntz. This is Anna Hummel.
That is me. Hello.
Oh, you sound good. Your microphone's working.
Good.
Camera's working.
Mm-hmm. Everything's good.
Cooking with gasoline. I like that. I like that.
Would it be okay if my Halloween costume just came in?
Oh.
It's in the package. I haven't even opened it.
Yeah.
I was wondering if perhaps we could do like a live reveal.
Absolutely. That sounds like a phenomenal idea. Do you want me to take you? Well, I can't really take you down because then your audio won't be here.
I can just move out of frame.
Move out of frame. Okay. We'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it going to? All right. Well, I'm gonna open it without you seeing it.
Okay. It is Halloween this week. It's the
Tuesday.
25th. We're recording this. So I believe 1 week from today is Halloween. And happy Halloweener to everybody out there who celebrates.
Okay, I'll be back.
Okay, here we go. I'm kind of scared to see if it's going to pop up. For some reason, what's in my head is a Nazi costume, and I hope that's not it.
That would be topical.
Very topical, yes. A Jewish Nazi would be very topical with a Israeli patch instead of the infamous curvy cross thing that's on there usually.
Maybe don't dress up as Hamas this year. Maybe save that for next.
Don't do anything political right now. Just trust me. Just don't do it. Natural Aspired says hello. Hello to you. Thank you for joining us.
Are you ready?
Wow, that was quick. Yeah, I'm ready. Here she comes. Is it a cucumber?
I'm a pickle.
A pickle. Very good. It looks like a sex toy that somehow contracted some sort of venereal disease, even though it's plastic.
I'm a pickle.
I see. Very good. Why a pickle?
I don't know. Pickles.
I gotta be honest. I'm not a big fan of the costume in general. I feel like Halloween, and I bet you about this every year, you have to... It's supposed to be like scary. It's the
Is it scary?
I mean, it is kind of scary. Yeah, it is frightening. It's frightening. Yeah, but I feel like, can you go a zombie pickle or something? Can you paint your face green?
Maybe it's a kosher dill.
It's a kosher dill pickle. Oh, yeah. Kosher, of course. Yeah, not a regular ordinary pickle.
No, I have to obviously have a political agenda here. So
yeah.
You know.
Wow. What are you going to do for Halloween?
Be a pickle.
And just sit at your house in a pickle costume?
Could you imagine? No, we have a like a Bubble 199. I've kind of explained it before. We do it once a month. And it's this Friday. And I don't think anybody is dressing up. Like, I barely mentioned that it's Halloween. It's coming up. And I said, hey, can we like all dress up? And Bubble was like, no. And then he's like, well, and I'm like, what about if you want to? It's not mandatory. He's like, all right, if you want to dress up. And I have a feeling ain't nobody going to dress up but me. But that's okay.
Is it like a party? Are you going to have like people over and to hang?
Yeah, there's probably going to be about 15 to 20 people there. We play music for 2 hours trying to make some money.
Yeah. Amen.
We do that. We do it every month. So
nice. Speaking of making money, if you can donate to this program if you want to. Venmo is just my name, Will Kuntz. I'll split it with Anna. She can attest to the fact that I'm a man of my word, and every donation that's ever been received,
yes,
I've split with her. You know, I did a video last night, Anna, on just how things are worse now since there was two major epochs that happened in my lifetime. One was 9/11, where things were kind of different after that. And the other one was COVID.
COVID.
And things, the service is worse. And I encourage you to go check out that video. It's on the YouTube page, willsyoutube.com. Not right now, but after you're done listening to this program, you go check it out. Or the podcast feed, HMB Radio, Hotel Mike Bravo Radio on your favorite podcast app. You can get it. And I told the story about I took my dad to Wing House. Well, he took me to Wing House, I should say. He wanted to go. And because he likes it, you know, not to rehash the whole thing, but it was just a mess. Our waitress was just a mess. And, you know, Wing House is kind of one of those restaurants where you expect a hot chick to kind of be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And you're saying that it's more of an equal opportunity employer now?
It was a big fat, fatty, had acne on her. Like, I don't want to disparage people's looks, but I feel like in that scenario, you know, I mean, come on, that's kind of the deal. You're supposed to be good looking, but I figured it out.
I said that to the manager, be like, listen, come on, man.
What's going on? I mean, I don't really mind that, but Tim was really disappointed. My dad, Tim.
He was?
Yeah, he was upset.
What did he say? Could you just tell by the look on his face, yes, or did he make a comment to you about it?
Well, he made a comment to me after, but I could tell even before he made the comment that he was a little like, man, come on.
Yeah. Isn't he a regular? Doesn't he?
He used to go all the time back in the day, but I don't think he used to go with his work buddies on Friday, and he doesn't work at that company anymore, so he doesn't go very often. But I think what happened was I figured it out, which is, what happened is that in the COVID times, people found this site called OnlyFans, and ordinary people started doing OnlyFans. And I think if you're like a 6 or above on, you know, the look scale, I think you can eke out a living. And if you're like hot, I think you can make good money doing it. And I think a lot of these girls that would ordinarily work at Wing House are actually on OnlyFans now, and I don't think they need to work anymore. So I don't even know if it's like the push for, you know, equality or, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion or anything like that. I think it's just freaking chicks not needing to work there anymore. So they have to hire, because they still got to serve food. So they just have to hire chicks now instead of, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
You may be right. And it could be pulling from all different types of industries. So like the service and food industry, the bartending industry, which is like service and food. And then also like the stripper, adult entertainment industry. Like that's what I heard. I don't frequent strip clubs, but I know people that do. And they said basically the same thing. As girls are like, why are we rubbing up on random dudes and risking, you know, you're in some precarious situations as a stripper, I can imagine. Why would we do that when we could essentially do the same thing from the comfort of our own home? Mm-hmm. So I certainly think it's affecting many facets. It's too hard to tell with just one, like maybe it was an off day, you know,
it was the weekend.
Maybe they're afraid that this person is very litigious. Maybe they were hot last year.
It was a weekend. It felt like prime time. It felt like it was prime time, and the girls that worked there were not, you know, again, well, I don't want to
just her. Or was it like the whole team?
There was a few cute ones, but most of them were gross. You know, I like gross chicks, so it didn't really bother me that much, but I could tell he was just disappointed because he had expectations throughout. He's a boomer. You know what I mean? Like he grew up in the restaurant era, like when it first came about. He was one of the first ones there at Hooters. Okay, and then the Knockers was around and Wing House. Like, so he has certain expectations that I believe that these restaurants can no longer, you know, keep up with him.
Yeah. And then, I never go.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm not into chicks and I don't eat chicken wings and I hate sports. So it's really not a place. And I hate people now, too. Everybody sucks. So I just stay away. So I have no idea how it's changed, but I can only imagine that it's moving in the direction that you're suggesting, where, you know, people are fatter, hotter chicks are just taken to online. And unfortunately, the customers, they suffer.
The boomers are suffering.
They have to look at I mean, he has the internet too, you know?
Yeah, but
he wants the interaction. I get it, you know?
Yeah, he's not like a creep. Like, some of these dudes are creeps. So there was one old man that was sitting behind us, and he, you could tell he goes there a lot, and like the girls would roll their eyes. He would call him over, and then they'd go over and smile real big, and he would sit down, come sit next to me, and would talk to him for a little. I got other tables, I gotta go. And that was really sad to witness. So he's not like that. He just likes a lady bringing him some fried chicken wings that is a nine. That's what he likes. He doesn't even want to. I don't even think he wants to see him nude or anything anymore, or like do stuff to him sexually. I think he just likes a pretty lady now. He's at that age.
Does he like try to spit game?
No. Not, I mean, not when I've been with him. He doesn't, he's aware of what he is. Like, he's a mess. He's a 65-year-old mess.
No, and I don't mean I know, but is he just like, thanks, honey? Like, so you having a good day? I don't know. Anything like that?
I think he would, at his old wing house, he would kind of chat these chicks up, and like, they liked him. And then I told him, like, hey, you know what you should do? I mean, this was years ago now. Like, I'm you, but younger. So if they like you, I'm younger and single, maybe they'd like me. You know what I mean? And he wouldn't do it. I think he would be too jealous. I don't think he would allow it to happen because he never like hooked me up or nothing.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. That would have been really good. He kept telling me, he's like, you need to get a job at Hooters, bro. Cook at Hooters. That's what you need to do for your college job, which was probably really good advice. But I didn't take him. Didn't take it up on that.
Clearly not.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that was really depressing. But one of the things that I feel like I'm rehatching last night's show, but I wanted to talk about this with you because it's frightening. And do you do DoorDash or anything like that?
I've only used it 3 times in my life, and that was when I had COVID the first time.
Okay, good.
No, I don't use it.
I don't use it anymore. Number one, because it's really expensive and I can't afford it. $20 for a burrito. That was really hungover one day, and I tried to order a burrito, and it was $20 to get it to my. I was like, no. So now I keep a frozen pizza in the freezer for when I'm in need, and that's what I do now. The other reason is you don't know who the hell's bringing you your food. These are not people who are, with the restaurant or anything. Like, they have some sort of connection, some sort of tie to the place that's bringing you. It's just a subcontractor. You know what I mean? And this story is why I will never order DoorDash or Uber Eats again. And again, I'm sorry. I kind of talked about this last night, but I wanted to get Anna's opinion on this. So a Phoenix area woman sues after DoorDash driver reportedly performs a sexual act on her food. I'm sure you can imagine without using the language what that means, right? The guy grabbed the food, took it to his car, was going to go deliver it. While he was in the parking lot of the restaurant, he went ahead and relieved himself sexually on the food.
And did he get a donut? Like...
I don't know. I believe it was a Mexican restaurant. So
it's just like a bunch of nachos.
Yes. Yeah. So it was like nachos or something like that. Burrito, taco, something like that.
He added some extra sour cream.
Yes. Yes. That's the same joke I use. I think every other radio show has used when talking about this story. So the thing about it was, is that the person in the restaurant like caught him doing this and said, hey, bring that food back. You know, I want to eat it. No, he said, I'll make a new one, I guess. I don't know. Don't deliver that food. And the guy drove off. So the owner called DoorDash and said, hey, some guy just on some of the food. You should warn that lady not to eat it. So she claims that it took DoorDash 40 minutes to get to her to make the phone call. But by then, 40 minutes in.
No, she did not.
She did. She ate it.
She ate it.
She ate. So she claims that she ate the food. I don't know how you prove that. Oh, hell yeah.
You claim you ate that, sister, because you're getting a big payday.
Yes, it is undisclosed how much she is suing for currently, but it is going to be I hope it bankrupts DoorDash, frankly. There is no reason that this service should be available to people. It's just go pick up your own damn food.
Well, I mean, do you feel any differently than like a pizza delivery guy?
I do, because I feel like there's some responsibility, some connection, like the you know, Pizza Hut.
He works for the restaurant.
He works for the like he went through an interview process. So yeah, it's possible that these guys are doing the same thing that work for them. But I feel like it's less likely because there is some sort of screening process if you're a pizza delivery dude for a pizza place. Like you go through some sort of screen. This is just like whoever, really. I mean, it doesn't really matter who it is. They might not even speak English. Like they might be fresh in a country. Like you have to have a really high trust society in order to do something like this. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I didn't know if you had anything to add or not, but I've been thinking about this story for about 48 hours now.
Yeah, it's pretty disturbing. And as someone who is a germaphobe and someone who's very particular about her food, and maybe was accidentally served eel one time when she thought it was a mushroom and created a Yelp account to try to ruin this new business out in Wesley Chapel. Yeah, I'm aware. I'm a freak about this stuff. I would never. I don't even think, even if I had all the money in the world, it seems insane to pay double the cost so that someone drives it 5 minutes over your house. Wild.
I think it's just people that are hungover. I'm convinced that that's what
or
it is.
Higher. I honestly think a lot of people are just lazy, and
that's true too.
And here's the thing: people that use it are not wealthy. They're not even well off. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't know where people get their money from, but it's they must have somewhere. Or credit cards, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this at all. The only time I have used it was when I was sequestered in my home because I had COVID-19 the first time when, you know, people were actually afraid of it. So
I wanted to check what some of the reviews were of this restaurant. Share this tab instead. I don't want to put this place on blast because I don't think it's necessarily their fault. But this is, I believe this is it. This is in Arizona. Filiberto's Mexican Food is the place. And there's a lot of one star. A lot of one star. I work late nights. I want to see if there's anything about somebody adding some extra sauce to their food or if this is just a one-off type of thing. I cannot comment on the food as I was unable to order. Okay, well, you can't give it a rating then. I loved going through some of the Google ratings and Google reviews is some of my favorite. Like if I don't have anything to do and I'm still online, like just going through Google reviews of just the lowest IQ individuals that shouldn't have access to a computer, but somehow know how to use it.
Right.
Like you'll just see one star. It'll be like a random place, a gas station or something. It'll be like one star. And then the review's like never been here. Those are my favorite. Like they don't even know that they're ruining businesses by doing this stuff. They're just like, I've never been there, so I guess I got to go with one star.
Right. Never heard of it.
There's such responsibility in that, and they have no idea. They just don't understand. It's so upsetting. People are very confused by your costume here.
It's Halloween.
Halloween. Yeah, she's a pickle, guys.
I'm a pickle.
Pickle. Or some sort of sex toy that somehow contracted syphilis.
This is a pickle. Come on, man. Don't weird me out. I'm just a pickle.
Itchy? You must be itchy in that thing. You can't wash it.
I kind of am.
Yeah. Oh, man. That thing came from China, like fresh off a shipping container.
I know. And I think it has like lice or something. It is itchy.
It's just sitting on a big pallet of asbestos. And it finally got here.
I'm taking it off.
Taking it off, yeah. I don't blame you.
Oh, all right, much better.
I don't have that, only PayPal. All right, I guess you can't donate. I don't know what to tell you. I got Cash App, too. I think that's just my name, too, Donkey Teeth, if you're interested in doing that.
Donkey Teeth? I know Donkey Teeth.
Yeah, all your people are in here today.
Donkey Teeth. We got some former Bubba Army in the house.
Poodle Ballin?
Poodle Ballin. No way. All right. Yeah, that's awesome.
Did you like plug this show or something today?
I didn't. No. Oh, but the people found me.
Tracked us down. That's awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, gang. That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
813-693-2124. That's the voice and text line. You got, you can follow me. Anna is not currently online in the social media realm, but I'm at @home_made_man, HMB Radio on Facebook, HMBRadio.com, and thehomemadebroadcast@gmail.com. That's how you get a hold of us. So another thing that I'm really afraid of, and I think it's only a matter of time, and I don't know if we talked about it on this show or not, is, you know, things are getting worse. To go back to my previous video there, I didn't even get to this one, but did you hear the story about the guy that freaked out the pilot and tried to shut off the engines?
You mean the one that was on magic mushrooms?
That's the one. That is
yes,
the one.
Yes, I did.
Let me pull this up here. There he is. His name is Joseph Emerson, and he's a pilot.
Yeah.
Or he was. I don't think he's going to be doing any more piloting anytime soon. But he was tied down or tried to down. Sorry, an Alaskan Airlines flight midair told cops that he had taken magic mushrooms before the flight. What? Joseph Emerson, 44, an off-duty commercial airline pilot, went off the rails while sitting in the cockpit jump seat of a flight between Everett, Washington and San Francisco on Sunday, trying to cut the fuel to the engines before he had to be held down by crew members. Even while he was restrained, Emerson tried to open up the emergency doors of the flight, which was being operated by Horizon Air. I haven't heard of that one, but seems like it's cheap. I think planes should be expensive. I won't be able to travel on them because I don't have that type of cash, but I think a seat should be like $1,000.
Whoa, even if it's like an hour flight?
There was a time, do you remember? Well, you don't remember, but I've seen commercials from like the innovation, like the beginnings of air travel in the United States, like the 1960s. There were big seats. Like I've seen documentaries or something on YouTube.
And yes, big like only the wealthy could travel yes. in the air. Yeah.
Everyone's wearing suits. Everyone's got like an ashtray on the side. They're smoking, burning heaters. Yeah. And, you know, the waitresses are like wing house quality pre-COVID. You know, like it was a really a prestigious type of event that you could go to if you had the capital to do so. Now, I mean, you see stories all the time. It's like flights, $34. Yeah, well, if you take a $34 flight, some dickhead on magic mushrooms might try to cut the engines. Like, you get what you pay for with toilet paper and airline travel, I feel like.
So are you blaming the people that bought the ticket for that flight?
No, but yes. I don't know how much it cost. I don't know if it was $34. I don't think that it's fair. I don't think this guy should have, you know, taken magic mushrooms. But who has that? Have you taken magic mushrooms?
Yes.
I mean, was that your reaction to like, I'm going to kill everyone on magic mushrooms?
Well, to be fair, I don't think I took that many magic mushrooms. I mean, I was under the aware that I was supposed to be hallucinating. So I still had 100% insight, if that makes sense. Because I've never been in a situation where what I thought what I was experiencing wasn't because of the drugs. Like I lost the insight. Even when I did LSD, I knew I was tripping on LSD. It wasn't like I'm in hell, you know. I knew where I was and why it was happening. I honestly, when I first read this, I'm like, man, this dude should be executed. Like I was real mad about it. I don't know why. Like people could do heinous things and I'm like, no, I don't believe in capital punishment. But this guy, I'm like, you took magic mushrooms and then piloted a flight?
Well, he
you
wasn't
be put to death, sir.
He wasn't flying. I believe he was in something called a jump seat, which I believe, and I might be mistaken.
Co-pilot sort of deal.
Yeah, it's like not even the co-pilot. It's like if the pilot has a heart attack or somebody is ill, then he can jump in and take one of their seats.
He should die. He should be dead. I was actually thinking about this. If I was married to this man, what would I do? He's married with two children. I read some testimonials from like his neighbors who vouched for his character and said he was a great guy. And I can't believe this happened. He was just like such a great guy. If I was married to this dude and I found out that this happened, I think I would divorce him and take the children. I would be so livid that he put so many people's lives in danger. So
this is him. What would you give him out of 10?
And you kind of need to see his whole body, but just from what I just got.
Face out of 10.
Probably a solid 3.7, 3.9.
Okay, I think that's probably about right. Yeah. I don't think he's like ripped or anything, but I don't think he's like overweight either.
No.
He has a weird chin. No. He's got this like very like cartoonish type of chin and a cartoonish nose. Nice eyes, beautiful eyes on him. And it looks like his hairline's receding quite a bit.
I don't know. I need to see more. You know, when people put a suit on or they wear a hat, it can really improve the situation. So it's hard to tell.
Now, how would you feel if you saw this man, even though he's ugly, if you were getting on the plane and you walked on and saw that this was your pilot, how would that make you feel?
100% secure.
Yes, yeah, same.
You know, middle-aged. Like, I'm going to say it. Middle-aged white guy. Yeah. White people do crazy stuff.
That's true.
Black people, but you don't really see a lot of black people, you know, in the circus. You don't see a lot of black people doing, you know, F-16 Blue Angels. That's not their jam. You don't see a lot of white or black base jumpers, skydivers. That's not their thing. Risk, like, that's not their thing. Flying is not really their thing. But white guys, that's their thing.
Uh-oh.
And they're good at it.
What about this,
Anna? Most of the time, until they take mushrooms.
Okay, what? You're right. I was looking at the Blue Angels. I thought, oh, Anna, you're wrong. First of all, you got this lady, Blue Angels, Amanda Lee. She's the left wing.
Yeah, well, she was a man last summer, so.
And then you also have Julius, Blue Angels pilot.
He identifies as white.
I will say overwhelmingly it appears to be, there you go, Siendo. I don't know.
He's Cuban. Spanish. He's from Spain. He's still white.
Cuban? No, he's Cuban or Puerto Rican. Yeah.
By means of Spain.
Let's see. Blue Angels are pretty diverse. I got to say, pretty good. Pretty good.
That was one example of many. Again, go look at the skydivers. Go look at the base jumpers. Go look at the paragliders outside of, you know, Hamas. They're mostly white, okay? White people do crazy stuff. And flying a plane, to me, is a crazy thing. Where you are flying through the air in a hunk of metal, and you're maneuvering around, and it can get crazy. And usually white people, white men, like that kind of stuff, okay? I'm just going to say it because it's the truth. Yeah, maybe you see a minority here, you know, Mexican slips in, maybe a woman here and there. But by and large, it's a white guy thing. So when I walk on a plane and I see a middle-aged white guy, I just go like this.
It is. I think it's more for me just middle-aged dude in general.
Yeah.
But I definitely understand. Like, I know this is sexist, and I'm sorry, but if it's a lady, I'm like, oh God, oh God, oh God. And I don't know if I've ever seen that, honestly. I'm going over in my head what I would think.
I mean, if I'm being perfectly honest, you know, it's weird because, like, the feminist part of my brain, the part that desperately wants to be feminist, Will, wants to be like, you go, girl.
Yeah.
But the part of me that wants to live is like, I'm going to die. Hope we don't have to parallel park in space.
Yeah. So there's this stuff too, that obviously the diversity is behind closed doors. Marines struggle with glaring diversity problem. They're talking about how they don't have enough black fighter pilots to bomb countries. They need more black people to kill.
Die is what they're saying.
No, I think you're pretty safe if you're flying.
I know. I mean, is anyone really stopping black people? If they don't want to do that sort of stuff, why are you trying to force them? You know?
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, I don't think there's any real... In fact, I think they're desperately trying to find some, clearly, as the Washington Post is stating.
Yeah, I mean, is anyone really screaming for more white rappers?
No.
It's just like black people are better at it. Black guys are just better at being rappers. And that's okay. Every once in a while, you get an Eminem or Jack Harlow. Great. But like,
wait a second. Did you just put Eminem and Jack Harlow and mention them in the same
breath? Are the two white rappers I can think of. Can you think of any more?
Yeah. ICP. Vanilla Ice. there's got to be some more. Macklemore. Not a Macklemore fan.
Okay, I think the Eminem and the Jack Harlow, we could have just stopped there. But listen, no one's clamoring for more white Beyoncés. It's okay.
We have that. It's Taylor Swift, and she's much more successful.
Well, I mean, R&B type singing, you know, it's like no one cares about that. And that's fine. Like, we don't have to force people to do stuff that they don't, like, want to do.
Oh, yeah, Beastie Boys, Aesop Rock. Okay.
Great. Okay.
Yeah, but point being that we're good. Like, we don't need any more. I think that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Apparently it's important for the Marines and then the Air Force to find more people of color to kill other people in airplanes. I mean, that's
to kill other people of color
in other countries. It's very important that they do that.
That the diversity of our military murderers stays consistent.
Oh, here's a better picture. What about this? Looks like I like this, Anna. He shaved his head. He saw this picture of himself and he goes, I got to let it go. And now he shaved his head.
Being bald is a choice and balding is not a choice. So you gotta be decisive about it.
What's your thoughts on a bald
remorseful.
Head? Huh?
He looks remorseful.
Yes.
But also, I think he should be burned at the stake. Like, there's a part of me that just wants to see him dead.
He looks remorseful, but also, like, he also could potentially just be on mushrooms.
Still. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a heroic dose that he took, and he's still going through it right now. What about this guy? Can you see him clearly? Like, what would you give this guy?
I thought that is the guy.
It is. But, I mean, like, would this change your rating? I feel like he looks better. He's got a little bit of stubble. He's bald now. He kind of looks like Jason Statham.
It's hard. It looks like is he standing behind or is he behind glass? Like, it looks like his head's in between something.
Yeah, some sort of plexiglass. I guess they saw COVID protocols or something.
I give him like maybe a 4.2.
Okay, so he went up like 0.3 points.
Yeah, a little bit.
Bald head. Okay.
A little bit.
I would agree with that. 83 people were on board. I believe he's charged with attempted murder of 83 misdemeanor counts of.
That's it.
No, sorry. He pleaded not guilty to 83 counts of attempted murder and one count of endangering an aircraft. And then 83 misdemeanor counts of reckless endangerment. He also pleaded not guilty to that one. How do you plead not guilty when everybody like saw you do it?
Like, he wasn't of sound mind. I don't know. Like, it wasn't intentional.
Now he looks weird again. Looks weird again there. He looks way better in this picture.
I'm just glad he looks sad. That like makes me feel better. Yeah, that guy sucks.
He became depressed.
That guy super sucks.
Says he became depressed 6 months earlier. But just because you're depressed doesn't mean you can break the law. So I don't know if he's got an attorney.
Yeah, I mean, that's a cute story. Everyone gets a little sad sometimes. So, you know, I don't know if I believe in depression anymore because everyone gets it. So is it even a thing? I don't know.
Wow, this is his house. What a nice house. I thought airline pilots didn't make much money. It looks like he's doing pretty good.
Oh, pilots make great money.
Do they? Aren't they always complaining they don't make enough money? Everybody complains.
Well, everybody complains they don't want to make enough money. Yeah.
Okay. But it's not like a teacher scenario. Well, teachers make too much money too, but I don't know. So, yeah, that's crazy. I can't imagine what your thought process. Did he mean the microdose? Because I know that that's a treatment some people claim for depression where you just take like a little caparoonie. Did he, you know, try to throw down a cap and accidentally,
I mean, no offense, but if you're depressed to the point where you feel like you need to medicate yourself, maybe you shouldn't be flying a plane or be in line to fly a plane where people are relying on you. I understand being sad. That's fine. You can be sad. But if you were clinically depressed, maybe that should eliminate you from being able to legally fly a plane. That's just me. Maybe if you're doing solo tricks, it's fine.
Yeah.
But
I don't even know, Neil, if it was Neil says that his whole career is over because he wanted to get high. I don't even know if that's why he did it. I mean, it's not like he was suffering from depression and maybe he thought this was a cure. Maybe it was one of those things where sometimes you can get the little capsules, you know, and they're pre-measured. It's like this many milligrams, and he took too many. He thought he was only going to microdose and then accidentally took.
Why are you microdosing before work and you get on a plane? I
agree.
Maybe he was thinking he could take it to prevent the depression, but then induced psychosis by accident. Did he even mean to take the magic mushrooms? You know, I mean, I know this sounds silly, but like, did his wife have a bunch of chocolate bars in the pantry and he grabbed one, like not really reading improv? I don't know. But if he intentionally took mushrooms and then got on a plane to potentially be responsible for flying it, he should be burned at the stake.
Are you saying literally burned at the stake? You want to bring this back as a form of capital punishment?
I don't want to bring it back. I mean it somewhat metaphorically, but I wouldn't be upset if he spent the rest of his life behind bars.
I mean, at that point, just string him up and quarter him.
Yeah.
Another antiquated, which is probably the worst way to go. I think we can all agree on that. That's where they tie you up.
Quartering seems pretty bad.
That's where they tie you up, each limb.
Or like disemboweling would super suck.
Yeah, that would be pretty. That was, man, when you go back and look at what history was during the Renaissance and, you know, the medieval times and the stuff they used to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we've come a long way. That's all I can really say.
Sorry.
What?
I was, I actually was trying to make a point to a friend. It's actually my dad's best friend that I've been in contact with because he lives in Tel Aviv. So just kind of checking in pretty much every day. But I was trying to explain to him that violence has actually gone down over time, which seems like an insane thing to say, especially now. But I sent him, I'm sure you're familiar with Steven Pinker.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Stanford psychologist, is it?
I think he was like a linguist by trade, but yeah, he does work in psychology and I don't want to say like sociology, but kind of. But he did this massive undertaking. I think it took him like maybe a decade to put this book together to make a pretty convincing claim that violence is severely declining. Even when you look at the world wars and everything like that, because he's adjusting for the amount of people that are on the planet, obviously.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, he's like, if you look at hunter-gatherer populations that are still on currently today, still hunter-gatherers like in Papua New Guinea and stuff, it was something crazy like 30% of men die from homicide. Mm-hmm. Like, so he's like, you don't even see that in the most dangerous countries in the world. So that used to be the norm where people were just, you know, they'd come into contact with another tribe and just kill everyone except for maybe the 12-year-old virgins. Keep those. Mm-hmm. Everyone else died. So, yeah.
Can definitely come a long way. So I know that we've talked about in the past, you know, the cancel culture stuff, the punishing people for their beliefs. And I know that you're pretty passionate. Obviously, you have family in Israel.
Let's just say family friends
now. Okay. But I mean, your father's was born there when you were born there, weren't you?
No. My dad's from South Africa. My mom's from America.
Okay.
I was born in Israel, but we don't have any, maybe like distant family, but no family I know, but sure. But yes, point well taken. Yes. I have connections there for sure.
So you've seen, you know, the videos this week of college campuses of people tearing down these pictures of hostages and people are losing their jobs because of this stuff. And I even saw that, I know that you're a big Dave Chappelle fan. Wait, are you a big Dave Chappelle fan?
I'm a big Dave Chappelle fan circa up until 2015.
Okay. Because I kind of feel the same way. It was right around COVID where he started coming out with these specials and they weren't funny. He was just like pontificating and
it wasn't even comedy. It was like a 27-minute video of him like with, it was a small like group of people. They were all socially distanced, and he just talked about like Candace Owens's genitals, right?
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, George Floyd and et cetera, et cetera. And I watched it, and I mean, everybody was like, wow, this is brilliant. And I was like, what am I missing? Cause I was a big, you know, Chappelle fan, a la, I guess, Chappelle Show days on Comedy Central. And I was like, I don't think I like this guy anymore. But then he kind of had this resurgence where he's kind of standing up to people that I don't like, these people who call everybody else fascists that are fascists, in my opinion. Stuff with like, you know, he's transphobic, stuff like that. And I was like, okay, he's cool, I guess. And he got into some issues over the weekend. Dave Chappelle fans walk out after he blasts Israel's war crimes in Gaza and pro-Palestinians losing job offers. So he went on a, I guess, you know, a tear. And I think that, you know, obviously if it's a comedy thing, you should be allowed to make the effort to try to make something funny. But yeah. I wonder what he, like, was he just pontificating again? Because you can hide under the guise of this is comedy, but is he just like speaking his mind? I think everybody has kissed his ass to the point where he just believes that he's some sort of sage now. And he's like, and he is an icon. I mean, I he's an iconoclast, but I think he's just bought what everybody else has sold him, and he's gotten his butt kissed too much. And now I think he just feels like I said, that he's just able to say whatever he wants. And I think he should say whatever he wants. But I wanted your thoughts on people walking out over some of his comments. I'll see if I can find them. I'm sure it's in the story.
I mean, there's no problem with people leaving a show that they don't want to hear what they're listening to. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You paid for the show. It's not prison. You can leave if you want to. You don't like what he's saying.
This is what he said here. He said that he accused Israel of killing innocent civilians and committing war crimes. More than 4,300 Palestinians have been killed in the conflict, blah, blah, blah. Women and children, yes, that's what happens in war. Other members of the audience cheered and shouted Free Palestine, while others shot back, what about Hamas? Some members of the audience walked out. Toward the end of the show, Chappelle repeatedly said that two things don't make a right in reference to the Hamas attacks and Israel's military response. A spokesman for Chappelle told the outlet that the comedian denies being in Boston that night, despite the show being listed among his dates by ticket outlets. What?
Yeah, I read that too. They're like, what's your response? Chappelle goes, I wasn't in Boston.
That wasn't me. What if it was? What if it was like Kevin Hart? It's like, that wasn't me. What are you talking about? It was Chris Rock. What are you saying here? Yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of torn in between this thing. I know you feel very strongly, you know, pro-Israel side. I'm kind of in between. I don't know what's right. So I kind of just shut my mouth.
This is how I feel. Whether you're pro-Israel or pro-Palestinian, I think everyone should at least be anti-Hamas. Like, Hamas isn't doing any favors for the Palestinian people, and clearly not for the Israeli people. Okay? Like, I don't understand why everyone in the West can't get behind that. Then after that, I get it. Yes, Killing Him Softly is Dave Chappelle, that, and For What It's Worth. Great specials. Mm-hmm. Great specials. But I think that's where I kind of find myself. Listen, like, yeah, I'm Israeli and I'm culturally and ethnically Jewish and I was born in Israel. But if you talk to Israelis, which I have, they are critical of their own government. They understand the plight of the Palestinian, like, especially prior to October 7th. They get it. They're like, all right, it's an open air prison. It sucks, but they keep causing problems and we don't know what to do. They don't hate the Palestinians like most Palestinians hate the Jews, because they aren't indoctrinated that you don't have textbooks that say, you know, when you have five Palestinians, you kill three. How many you have left? That's what's going on in Gaza. Okay. So it's almost like, how could this not happen? This sort of vitriolic hate for Jews when you're basically raised from birth to think that way. But, you know, yes, I'm biased. Of course I'm biased. But, you know, I'm trying to take a step back and try to understand both sides. And to be honest with you, I've been listening to way more pro-Palestinian interviews than I have pro-Israeli, because I get the Israeli side. I understand that side. I don't understand fully the Palestinian side. So I'm really trying to learn more. But whether you're free Palestine or you're, you know, rah-rah Israel, I think everyone should be able to say what Hamas did was bad. And if that's a problem for you to say that out loud, then I feel like there's really nothing to discuss.
Yeah, well, I think that's what we're getting to, where there is nothing to discuss and it's only war at this point. But I mean, I really only wanted to touch on what you thought about Dave Chappelle. I don't think Dave Chappelle seems like he's untouchable. He's got his, you know, he survived cancellation from the left, and now he's kind of getting, I guess, from the right on this now. And I don't think anything's going to happen to him either way. I'm sure he'll still sell out arenas. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe this will be the thing that does get him. I don't know even what that looks like anymore, though, where you talk about cancellation. I like, do you watch any Shane Gillis stuff?
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
Did we just talk about it last week? His cancellation was the best thing that ever happened to him. And, you know, now he's a superstar because he got thrown off of Saturday Night Live. So I don't know. I don't know what cancellation means anymore. Seems like it causes a Streisand effect and you end up more popular than you were before the cancellation in many cases, unless you're like getting banned off platforms and stuff where like that's real cancellation. But
I mean, even Andrew Tate seems to have survived.
Is he back online?
I don't know if he has his own channel. I see everybody reposting his stuff all the time. So it just seems like it's getting repurposed through his fans.
But he is making content.
Yeah, because he's talking about stuff that like Hamas and stuff. So I'm like, okay, this is recent.
Interesting. Wow. Well, that's good to know. I don't know. That was one you told me about him, and I tried to watch. And I was like, I hate this guy. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's fair. He's not the most likable person.
Well, you know, neither are we, I guess. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you, Anna Hummel. Thank you, people at home listening. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com, thehomemadebroadcast@gmail.com if you want to get a hold of us. We'll see you next week, or willsyoutube.com, willspodcast.com for extra content when the Johnny B Show is not on. For Anna Hummel, my name is Will Koontz. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you listen on podcast, thanks a bunch. Tell a friend about it, and hopefully we'll talk to you next week. Good night.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.